Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started.
Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. Today, our guest is Jeremy Wolf. Jeremy is the executive director of More Than Baseball, a nonprofit organization built to grow the game worldwide and make it fun and accessible again. Jeremy's a former minor leaguer with the New York Mets and an Olympian for Team Israel. And we'll talk about some of those things as we get into this. But first, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on because you kind of have a diverse background. So for those that don't know you, which is most watching this, tell us a little bit about, a little more about who you are. Obviously, you know, you grew up here in the States, but you have now dual citizenship with Israel. So tell us a little bit about your childhood and kind of where you're coming from.
So I'm Jeremy Wolf, for those who don't know me. For those who do know me, I don't know how they would. I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is a very baseball-heavy town. Baseball here is like football, you know, in Texas. It's what you do here. And so I played baseball at a very young age. I knew that that's what I was going to do. I wrote, I think in my yearbook in like the third grade, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wrote, you know, professional baseball player. So like from a very young age, that was what I wanted to do. It was what I was born to do. It was what I was going to do. There's never a doubt in my mind it was going to happen. So, you know, very fortunate enough to grow up in a place that loves baseball and teaches baseball, and there's accessibility to baseball. And I played basketball for, I think, 2 years in middle school and football for a year in high school. And it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for me because the games were too boring. Like, basketball is very rapid and whatever, but baseball, you could hang out with your friends, you could eat. You could talk, you could hang out. Basketball wasn't for me. Football, Jews don't play football. That's just what my grandma said. And she's like, you shouldn't play. And so I only played 1 year, and I didn't like getting tackled. So like, why would I put myself through that? But so baseball is it. Baseball has given me all my friends. Baseball has given me all my experiences. And so as we'll talk, like, baseball is the reason I am doing the things that I'm doing. And so I'm doing my best at giving back to baseball.
Right. So I love that you talk about the baseball experience and how I thought it was funny that you said, you know, that basketball is boring compared to baseball, because everyone else in the universe will say baseball is boring and basketball is fun and exciting. But you bring up a good point here that it's the experience, it's the environment. So let's talk a little bit about more about that. Why is baseball like America's pastime? Why is baseball such a big deal here?
Well, I mean, it's not anymore, right? Baseball's not anymore. Football is. Football owns 3 days of the week and would own more if the players wanted more games. Like,
right.
Baseball has this weird place, has this unique place in American culture, American society. Maybe it's because, like, everyone plays it growing up. Maybe it's because it's Americana and pop culture. When you think of America, you think of with Chevy, apple pie, and baseball. These are all references right. That fifth graders aren't going to get. Right. And when I think about baseball, I think of how any athlete can play. Anybody can play. It's not based on size. It's not based on skill or speed. For the most part, it's based on perseverance and having like a knowledge of basically hand-eye coordination for you to hit a baseball, right? Which very few, from what I've seen, people have the ability to do. If I go into a batting cage, I can see someone who's done it for maybe they pick it up for the first time, right? Football players do it all the time. I can hit a baseball for sure. There are guys who naturally have the ability to do it and naturally who don't. And more often than not, you can hit a baseball and you can teach yourself and learn. And I think baseball gives you the freedom to do that. Basketball and football, in football, you have to be big and strong or the fastest. In basketball, you have to be the tallest. In baseball's for everybody. It's built for everybody. So I think from like a very basic level, people see that. I think when you get into the major leagues and you go watch a game, I think because there are so many games, I think it's because of it's during the summer. I think it's so regionalized. There's minor league teams in every town. There's major league teams that everyone's got a little league. Like, I think it's so ingrained in our culture that people either love it or they hate it. But I think that more often than not, people have a relationship with baseball.
Yeah, now that's interesting having you talk about it, because so you're a millennial, I'm a Generation Xer, my parents are baby boomers, and we're talking to Generation Z. And baseball has changed from every generation. And so for me, I did grow up where baseball was still America's pastime. All my friends collected baseball cards. We knew the statistics. I mean, I wanted to be Ozzie Smith, you know. And so even though I'm not a baseball guy, that was an important part of my childhood, and even more so for my parents and their generation. But I like what you bring out here, that the access, anyone can play baseball. Yeah. And it still requires a tremendous amount of skill and physicality, but you don't have to be born with the specific skill set. You can learn it. So I love that about baseball, that we really do have access. Anyone can play it.
Well, it what I tell kids all the time, like when I speak to kids and teams and whoever, like, there are lessons that baseball teaches you, as I'm sure all sports do, right? Mm-hmm. You fail, you miss a shot, you got a next one, right? You miss a tackle, you drop a ball, you got a next one. You play golf, you made a bad shot, it's okay, take a deep breath, you got a next one. But in baseball, the game itself it mimics life, right? There's no time limit. There's no, it's balls and strikes. There's 9 innings. You know, the structure of it is so intricate and fascinating and weird. And I think that with that, and with being a baseball player, you just are built with a different personality. And when I have friends who are basketball players, we think differently. I have friends who are football players and golfers and swimmers and whoever. The mm-hmm. sport that we play creates a different person, which is sure. fascinating. That's something that we do can give you a different outlook on life. And so I think baseball, the lessons that baseball teaches a kid or an adult or a professional at that point, is so unique. And I think the way that it teaches us about failure and acceptance and perseverance and strategy, like, we can go into any different adjective. I think the way that baseball does it is fascinating, and the type of person that it creates.
Right. Well, and those adjectives are especially interesting right now when we talk about failure and perseverance and struggle and uncertainty. Certainly that's where we're at as a world right now with this COVID pandemic, is we're facing a lot of those things. Now, baseball players, especially those who go on to play professionally, they know that better than most, because the road from amateur baseball to professional at the major league level or the world-class level, that's a very different road than most other sports as far as the draft is concerned and making that transition into the minor leagues and then working around the minor leagues. Could you talk about that for a minute as someone who has experienced that? What are some of the highs and the lows of being a minor league baseball player?
I think the highs are, once you're a minor league baseball player, the dream that you've had since you were a little kid mm-hmm. has come to fruition. It's real, right? Everything you've been working for, I started playing when I was 4. So for 18 years, I was working towards a goal, right? I had achieved that goal. I was drafted by the New York Mets, which was my favorite team growing up. Huh. And I wear this Padres hat because it's just a cool hat, you know. But I grew up a diehard Mets fan. I was drafted by the Mets. I got to wear a Mets jersey. I was a Mets employee. I played baseball. It was the dream come true.
Right.
But then you face the realization of, well, I have a job to do, and I can't enjoy it because this is my livelihood, and it's life or death. And you put so much unnecessary pressure on yourself when the game itself hasn't changed. Skill level changed. The environment changed. You're getting paid to do what you love doing. But playing the game itself is the same. I'm still hitting a baseball. I'm still running a base. Nothing's changed. But the amount of pressure I put on myself increased. And what I tell young kids, and when I go back and tell, you know, the pro guys that I know now, it's, there are ways to, in situations in which you are nervous and anxious, there are ways to revert back to enjoying it as if it were in the backyard with your friends or in Little League. And you can teach your brain and you can teach your body to to remember that. And when I played, I was so worried about doing really well and impressing people that I lost track of what got me there. And I lost track of the things that made me successful in the pursuit of trying to impress people. Because I wanted them to say, Jeremy Wolf, wow, he was a 31st round pick. No one gave him a chance. And now here he is in the major leagues. Right. And instead, I put so much pressure on myself to perform that in opportunities where it used to be very easy for me to perform, I became very nervous and anxious and forced things when I just should have just allowed them to happen. Right. And so the difference between a major leaguer and a minor leaguer is not skill level, it's consistency. It's going to the field every day, doing the work that they need to do before the game to then have the game that they want to have on their terms. And the best advice I ever heard was be so good at it, be so good at your batting practice or be so good at your repetition or be so good at whatever that it becomes boring. It's like a golfer, right? He's practicing the same shot every single day and it looks, and it, when it looks easy, it looks effortless. And when it's effortless, it looks boring. Be so good at that thing that it looks boring to you.
Well, and that's interesting because I think so much in life, not just in sports, that that same message applies, right? If you want to get good at anything, it's about being consistent, putting in the effort, working really hard for a long period of time, and it's going to feel boring. You know, you're going to do that same thing over and over, but that's how you get to be the best in the world at it. So I think that doesn't end with sports. That can apply to anything.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so you played with the Mets organization, you bounced around a little bit, and now you're in an interesting situation where you're an Israeli citizen and you made the Olympic team and moved out to Israel for a while. Tell us a little bit about that and why you decided to do that and pursue that dream.
So my mother's Italian. Mm-hmm. My father's Jewish. If there are parents watching, I'm sure they'll find that as funny as I do, because it's all about guilt. And, you know, one family has meatballs and one family has matzo balls. So it's pretty much the same thing. We're all hairy people. Like, it's just, it's a general, you know, it's the norm. And so I started More Than Baseball, which is my nonprofit, trying to build baseball fields and build communities of baseball and help, you know, minor leaguers or youth players just perform better. That's what we do really well. And so I called the Israeli Federation and I was like, hey, I'd love to build a field in Israel. And he's like, that's great. Do you want to play outfield on the Olympic team? And I was like, yeah. So 6 months later, I was like, sure. So 6 months later, they flew me out. I got my passport. I came back. I was living in Texas at the time where I went to school. And then after my minor league career was over, I moved back. And so I lived there for, you know, the 4 or 5 months. We played our first tournament. We won. And I was like, I might as well just move to Israel. I'm going to be in Europe for a month anyway. I might as well move to Israel, leave my stuff, go play this tournament, go back to Israel, find a job, have a great life, whatever.
Right.
Not expecting to ever. Who would expect like a team of, you know, a lot of us were former minor leaguers. Half of us are accountants, which the parents will find funny. And so I moved to Israel. We played our next tournament in Germany, and then we won that. And then we qualified for the Olympic tournament out of that. And then we played the Olympic tournament and we won that to qualify for a spot in the Olympics. Everyone, even the Israelis, we have 4 born Israelis on our team. Even the Israelis went back to America because that's where they live. I was the only one on the team who moved to Israel because I wanted to experience it. Like, I wanted to see what it was like to be Israeli. I didn't want to say like, oh, I'm an Israeli citizen and not move right there. I wanted to experience the culture. I wanted to meet the kids. I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to learn Hebrew. I wanted to do all these things. And baseball gave me the opportunity to do that, right? Without baseball, I wouldn't be an Israeli citizen. With baseball, I am an Israeli citizen. So, like, when I was over there, we're trying to build a field and we're trying to bring more coaches and we're trying to set up a summer league. We're trying to do a bunch of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And being there gave me a better perspective on what it is actually over there, right? As an Israeli citizen, like, I'm giving all of these, like, the government treats me really well as an Israeli citizen, but like, what are other issues in Israel that I may or may not be passionate about? What are issues in Israel where baseball can assist somebody? And my job as a missionary of the sport, I guess, is how can I use baseball to give someone a bit of happiness, right? With the same type of happiness that it gave me. And so using baseball to create a more unity and that was my goal to move over there, is trying to understand it a little bit better. I ate a lot of hummus and I lived on the beach, and that's not a bad alternative. And so I was incredibly grateful for the opportunity to be on the Olympic team. Again, incredibly grateful for the opportunity to play professional baseball, and now just using my platform. Again, probably just for so I can make the baseball gods happy so that the Mets will win a World Series before I die. I think that's the main motivating factor for me. I'm very grateful again for the opportunity to do the things that I'm doing.
Yeah. So your story is fun because we've had a bunch of Olympians on this show, and for almost all of them, when they were 3 years old, their dream was to be on the Olympic team and to compete in the Olympics. I think you're the first person I've ever met that became an Olympian because you are an ambassador for the sport. Like, that's so cool that you know, you went over. And I think that speaks to following a passion. And this is what I really wanted to talk about today. Your nonprofit, More Than Baseball, comes from your desire to make the sport, or to bring the sport back into prominence in the United States. But for you, it's a very personal thing. Now, I'm not passionate about that same thing, and most of our listeners aren't, but everyone's passionate about something. And so I want to hear more about why you decided to create this foundation in the first place, and what are kind of some of your goals and objectives moving forward.
Well, so I played baseball 2 years with the New York Mets. I got injured, and at the end of my second season, when I got injured, I got a phone call that I was getting cut, getting released, before I could walk yet. And so when I played professional baseball, I had to get my own equipment. I had to get my own food. I had to get my own housing. I had to get all of these things that made it more difficult for me to perform at my job. And so instead of advocating for better treatment, right, and the players are being paid very little. It's around, $3,000 to $10,000 per season, right, per year they play. It's not that much. It's below minimum wage. It's very little money. But we're all, the players who do it are all doing it for living out this dream. And I think there was at the beginning this misconception of, well, go do something else, right? You can go get a job doing something else. And instead of arguing back, instead of, clapping back at them and saying the treatment should be better, it was, let me prove to you that I will perform better. Or let me prove to the teams that if these athletes have the things that they need to be successful, they will be successful. And so my whole, even in college, but the last 2 to 3 years, my time has been dedicated to employment happiness and research and all of these things that make even students, you can take it, if this classroom environment, a student will learn better if he likes his teacher.
Right.
An athlete will perform better if he enjoys his environment. An employee will perform better at their job if they have the tools they need to succeed. So our job with More Than Baseball is to prove this. And so we want to work with Major League Baseball. We want to work with every single player. Right now we have about 2,000 of 5,000. We want to work with major leaguers on assisting them during and after their career. So everything that we do, housing, food, equipment, mental health coaching, financial guidance, career development, all of these stuff we do is to make it so that these players, whoever needs assistance, has a resource outside of baseball that they can go to for comfort, right? When they need something, they go to us. And if there's an environment in which they are comfortable and protected, when it comes down to, like we were talking about earlier, performance, if these guys are happier, more confident, have the things they need, they're sleeping better, they're recovering, they're going to be able to perform better at their job. And so if I can get this kid a mattress and food, I know that I can. This stuff will help him get one more hit per week. So baseball people will know the difference between 300, hitting 300, and 240 is a big difference. But what if I told you that the difference between 240 and 300 was 3 hits? So what can I do as an organization to help a kid get 3 hits per out of 50? So 12 out of 50 or 15 out of 50. What can I do to help this kid get 3 more hits? I can help them get housing and food and equipment and career service and all the things that we provide to make it easier to play professional baseball. So therefore he will perform better at his job. And when he's done playing, he'll be set up for a life out after baseball. So he's not with no money living at home, starting over to where baseball is at that point, a detriment to career, but let's show how much of a value it can be when you show an employer, when you're done playing, that you graduated college, got a master's degree and played 6 years of professional baseball all in the same, you know, time span as someone else just working 6 years at a job. Right now, guys who play 6 years are just playing 6 years and then they're just going to go coach because that's the only thing that they think that they're good at.
Right.
So there's no environment for them to be, to leave baseball either, which is what we do really well.
Right. And you're in an interesting industry just because in most professions, there's a clear cut path till you die, right? You get your training, your education, you start at entry level, and then you work your way up and you do that till retirement. In baseball, that's different because most people retire, you know, at the same stage that other people, their contemporaries, their peers are starting their careers. And so baseball is a really short window. And so that's a tricky thing. So I love that you have this initiative. I love that you're taking initiative and doing something about it. To move that over into an area where most students are hanging out right now as far as thinking about how they can make a difference in the world, what are some of the things that you did early on to create More Than Baseball, to form this and to take it from just an idea in your head to actually, you know, gaining some traction and doing something with it? Can you just take us through some of those early steps? Because I think we can transfer that over to a lot of other areas.
The first thing was I took about 3 months right when I first had the idea. And I did as much research as I could to make sure that the solutions that I knew, every business solves a problem, right?
Right.
And so I knew that what we were doing was ultimately going to be successful. I had a feeling, you know, I'm like, okay, we can't build a union, right? Because that's just not going to happen. What else can we do? Well, we can help a kid get one more hit a week. Okay, what are the things we can do for that? And I had this idea and we just started building it out. The next thing I did was I found a team of people who were just as passionate as me. And sometimes you can search and search and you may think you find somebody and you may not. If you have a good idea, people are going to find you.
Right.
And so both of the people I work with now, one is Simon Rosenblum Larson. He's a pitcher with the Rays currently. He went to Harvard. He's a smart kid. He's really devoted to treating employees good at a job. You know, it's a common sense thing. You know, if your employee's happy, he's going to do good at his job. And so how can we build that out in what we are doing and disguise it as something, you know, as something different? That's ultimately what it is, right?
Right.
And so Simon came, you know, called and was like, I like what you're doing and I'd love to be part of it. Cool. We've talked every day since. Slade Heathcott played 10 years of minor league baseball, was a first round pick, got up to the major leagues with the Yankees in 2015. He is this crazy motivated guy who would honestly be perfect for something like this. And every day for the last 2 years almost, we've devoted our time to ensuring the ultimate success of minor league baseball players and therefore the game itself. Like if you love baseball, you love us. Right. And that was the goal from the beginning. And it's not taking it. It's not in a way we're solving a problem, but we're not competing against anybody. So the third thing I would say is if you have a problem that you want to solve, it can be like, what can make this cup keep this liquid, you know, hotter longer, right? That's a problem that you're solving. But I got a Yeti, so it's good. My coffee's been hot for like 2 weeks. Find people who want to do it with you. But the third thing is not to give up when it gets really hard. And it's going to be really, really hard. But I think there's always a way, and there's always someone, it might be your parents or it might be a mentor or whoever, that will, when you're stuck, that you can go to get unstuck. And those are the three most valuable things that I've learned in the 2 years of doing this with the success and the failures that we've had, is to think of it as not competing against there were other cup companies, right? But not competing against other people in this industry or business or, and just like baseball too, if I have a failure, I can't think about the failure. I have to learn from the failure and move forward. And so in my line of work, in my business, we don't compete with anybody. In a way, we don't even compete with ourselves. We think very clearly about our objective. Our objective is to assist a baseball player every single day.
Right.
And if I do that, I'll have time to do 10 more, right? If I make the best cup ever, I want to make the best cup, the most universal cup ever. I want that cup to be the best cup ever. I don't care if other people are making cups. I want to make the best cup ever. With what I do, I want to make sure that I'm doing what I can to make baseball a better place every single day.
Right. So I love that this has turned into kind of a business lesson, but your three steps here, I think are critical. And so I want to just review them real quick. The first one is make sure that you have a problem that you can solve and that you've done enough research that you're qualified to solve that problem. So that's an important first step. Second step is to gather a team of like-minded individuals that are going to make you better and help with you with your journey. And then the third part's the consistency and putting in the work. Now, I think most people see step one and step three as attainable. The step two is a hard one for a lot of kids, is how do I attract the right team? How do I get the word out? How do I let people know that I'm doing this so they can join in? What did you do to kind of get the word out about More Than Baseball so that you could work with these incredible people?
Twitter, which is just this emptiness. But I started the More Than Baseball Twitter account.
Okay.
And this was March of 2018. And for some reason, minor league baseball was in the news. You know, so they weren't getting paid or they didn't get a raise or something. It was in the news and people were talking about it. And I go, now's the time to just jump in and just see what happens. So I started More Than Baseball. I started talking about the problems within minor league baseball and the solutions to fix it. And people saw it and retweeted it and liked it. And the kids will understand like what that means.
Right.
But then I direct messaged people within the industry to legitimately have a conversation with them about what I thought was possible to fix. So I sought out experts.
Hmm.
And by doing that, I learned everything I wanted to learn about it. I was incredibly passionate about it. So my drive to do it never went away.
Right.
But I always knew that this product would ultimately solve the problem in which we're looking to fix. And so keeping that in mind, the idea in 2 years, we have never shifted on the goal of More Than Baseball. The goal is always to make baseball a better place. It's very broad, yes, but there's so many different things that we can do because of that.
Right.
And so if this student or this kid or 18-year-old, you're in college or whoever, goes, you know what, I think I would love to start a business. What am I passionate about? Passionate about design. But you don't know where to start. Well, look at other people in which you would love to be in their shoes, right? Who's your role model in this? Our role model, there was a nonprofit called Charity Water, which people can look up. And what they do is they bring money in and they build wells in Africa. And these wells just bring clean drinking water to towns in Africa that really need clean drinking water. Mm-hmm. No more than that. Right? That's really easy to understand. Our job is to bring wells to people in Africa who need clean drinking water. More Than Baseball is as simple as that. Our job is to bring baseball to people that want it. And so to be successful in what I do, I made hundreds of connections via Twitter, via email, doing a lot of research. And always all of the time I spent on it was to further that goal. So I never waste my time. I never take phone calls that I never think will lead to something. I never do research just to do research. I do research to find answers to questions that I have. And so for whoever's going to listen, for all of these kids, like, I have been successful in this and our team has been successful in this is because we don't waste our time. Everything we do is to either finish a task, do it, you know, learn something, do research, you know, even something like this, like I love doing this because I love I love bringing that value out in the work that I've been doing, right? If I didn't value that, I wouldn't have this conversation, right?
Right.
And so for the kids, it's like, you may think building a business is an incredibly daunting thing. Maybe we could put like what daunting means. It's an incredibly difficult thing, but it's very easy to start. It's very difficult to finish. And finding people who, there will always be somebody passionate about what you are passionate about. And it's finding them and it's working with them, not against them, not in spite of them, not in competition with them. But the more people you can bring around you in your idea will ultimately sell that idea. You'll be successful because of the team that you've built around you. So I am lucky enough to work with two or three, you know, we have advisors. We have like 50 people who we talk to frequently who are incredibly smart and bright and driven and all have the same goal. The goal is to make baseball a better place. And, you know, when I start another business or I do another thing, I only want to work with my friends. People say, don't do that. You're going to ruin your friendships. Well, you're going to ruin your friendships if you're a jerk. But you're ultimately going to enhance your friendships if you find those friends that are passionate about the same things that you are.
Right.
And so if there's somebody out there, fifth grade, eighth grade, high school, who wants to start a business, third grade, I don't care. If you want to start a business, find people who believe in the same thing as you and try to solve a goal together.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for your time today and sharing with us your love of baseball and what you're doing with More Than Baseball. If kids want to learn more about that initiative, where should they go?
They should follow us on Instagram and Twitter, MTB_ORG. They should go to morethanbaseball.org. If their parents are watching, they tell their parents, like, we do camps, clinics, we're going to do events. If they live near a minor league town, we're going to start doing stuff there. When COVID is over, of course, summer ball, we're going to try to do some more stuff around summer ball. You know, and so if they love baseball, come be part of it. It's as simple as that. If they don't like baseball, well, you know, go do something fun. You know, but if you love baseball, come do stuff with us.
Cool. Well, thanks for being on the show with us today, Jeremy.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks. You are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.